the Artemis II crew returns home after a trip around the moon. You're listening to The Wrap from Central Florida Public Media. I'm Brendan Byrne. The astronauts on NASA's Artemis II mission are heading back to Earth from their journey around the moon. They traveled farther than any other humans have before. Some of the most critical parts of this mission are happening Friday, when their capsule smashes through the atmosphere on its trip home before splashing down off the coast of California. We'll break down their return and look back at their historic mission. That's ahead on The Wrap, the big stories this week from Central Florida Public Media. But first, these headlines. HIV support systems are looking at budget cuts again. In Florida, the state's drug assistance program had cuts to its funding earlier this year. Now, President Donald Trump has proposed a budget for 2027 that cuts funding to testing and prevention programs. Central Florida Public Media's health reporter Joe Mario Pettersen explains why Florida HIV advocates and clinicians are pushing back on those cuts.
Florida ranks third for HIV diagnoses in the country, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. President Trump is again proposing about $1.5 billion in cuts to HIV programs. Last year, Congress rejected those cuts. Trump's budget includes an $800 million reduction in funding for HIV testing by the CDC. Dr. Elizabeth Sherman is an HIV clinician in South Florida. She says the CDC is one of the biggest providers of HIV tests in the state, and without it, experts would be blind to how pervasive the virus is in a community.
The HIV virus will spread in the dark, and by the time you see the impacts of those cuts, you're already going to have an uncontrolled outbreak.
The CDC listed Orange County as one of 48 priority jurisdictions due to its high rate of new diagnoses. Joe Mario Pettersen, Central Florida Public Media.
The Tropical Cyclone Research and Forecasting Team released their outlook for the 2026 Atlantic hurricane season. Their forecast? Slightly below average activity. Meteorologist Megan Borowski from the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network breaks it down.
Right, so the CSU forecast is for 13 named storms. Out of that 13, 6 hurricanes, and out of those 6 hurricanes, 2 major hurricanes. Now, these numbers are a shade below what a quote-unquote normal season looks like, which is 14 storms, 7 hurricanes, and 3 major hurricanes. We do expect a strong El Nino to develop later this summer, and that will likely help to put a lid on tropical development, so that's the main factor for this below-average forecast.
Borowski stresses that seasonal forecasts can help offer insights into the hurricane season as a whole, but they do not tell us when storms will develop or where they will track. Borowski reminds us that regardless of seasonal totals, it takes just one storm to negatively impact our area. A teenage manatee is back in the wild following Tuesday morning's successful release in Melbourne. As Central Florida Public Media's environment reporter Molly Dirk explains, Melby, the manatee, had been recovering after he was rescued earlier this year from a storm drain in Melbourne Beach.
Melby splashed back into the wild to applause and cheers from a big crowd. Utility surveyors found Melby in the storm drain back in February. And getting him out of there safely was a community effort. Brevard County Fire Rescue's Fergus Kelly was there helping shield Melby from the heavy equipment used to excavate the road and lift him out of the drain. Kelly says it's not a call the fire department gets every day.
I'd say very uncommon. That's the fun part about our job is you never know. You know, when you show up to work, you never know what it's going to be.
Animal caretakers with SeaWorld Orlando think Melby the manatee was likely seeking refuge from the cold when he got stuck in the drain. As of March 27th, 39 manatees have died in Florida this year due to cold stress. That's more than twice the average number for that time period. Molly Durig, Central Florida Public Media.
Check out more on Melby the Manatee and other stories on our website. Visit cfpublic.org. Florida is preparing to redraw voting lines, but what does that mean for your community? Engage host Sharon Stone will lead a conversation with experts on Thursday, April 16th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Osceola Council on Aging in Kissimmee. Reserve your seat for Engage in the Community, redistricting, and participate in interactive experiences. Ask questions and share your perspective. Reserve your spot for this free event at cfpublic.org/engage. The astronauts on NASA's Artemis II mission are heading back to Earth from their journey around the moon. They traveled farther than any other humans have before. Some of the most critical parts of the mission are happening Friday, when their capsule smashes through the atmosphere on its trip home before splashing down off the coast of California. I spoke with Central Florida Public Media's Sharon Stone to break down their return and look back at their historic mission.
So talk to me, what's the plan here?
Yeah, so the four astronaut crew of the Artemis II mission are making their way home after, as you mentioned, a record-breaking trip around the moon. They are making this quarter of a million mile journey coming to an end tomorrow. But keep in mind, this is a test flight of the Orion spacecraft, and they will continue to perform flight tests on the vehicle as it makes its trip home. That includes this re-entry into the atmosphere. What's going to happen on Friday is the Orion space capsule will make some adjustments to a trajectory, and then it will punch through the atmosphere on Friday. It's going to be hitting speeds of around 24,000 miles per hour, enduring temperatures of up to 5,000 degrees Fahrenheit. And as it makes this trip down to splash down the Pacific Ocean, a series of parachutes will open, slowing the vehicle down to just 20 miles per hour as it splashes down just off the coast of San Diego, where there is a U.S. Department of War ship waiting to recover the astronauts from the capsule.
I want to know more about this re-entry on Friday and why the spacecraft has to come in just so fast.
Yeah, it's going really, really fast to begin with, right, in order to get around the moon and back. So, you know, coming into the atmosphere is always a very, very dynamic event for any spacecraft. But because this essentially the orbit around the Earth was so very high enough where it intercepted the moon, right, a quarter of a million miles, it's going to be slamming in really fast. So yeah, this is a very, very critical part of the mission, right? Not only is this reentry is a very dynamic environment, but you know, crew safety is very important here. There is risk to reentry, as we have seen before. Here's what mission pilot Victor Glover had to say about the importance of this part of the mission.
I've actually been thinking about entry since April 3rd, 2023, when we got assigned to this mission. And one of the first press conferences we were asked, what are we looking forward to? And I said, splashdown. And it's kind of humorous, but it's literal as well, that we have to get back. There's so much data that you've seen already, but all the good stuff is coming back with us. There's so many more pictures, so many more stories. And gosh, I haven't even begun to process what we've been through.
Brendan, protecting the astronauts from the heat of reentry seems obviously critical. How is the capsule equipped to do that?
Yeah, so the capsule has a heat shield underneath it, around the bottom portion of the capsule as it hits the atmosphere. This is made of a material that the term is ablates. So essentially, as it gets hotter and hotter, it burns off, taking a lot of that heat and energy away from the spacecraft. This is technology that we used, you know, back in the Mercury days, right? When our first astronauts went to space and came back home, you use a heat shield. There are a bit of things that raise a few concerns about the heat shield, right? One is the heat shield has been tucked beneath the service module of the vehicle. So if you look at Orion, there's that conical capsule and then the cylinder underneath it that has a bunch of engines, and it's where the solar arrays are attached. The heat shield is in between those two things, right? And they haven't been able to look at the heat shield to see if it actually survived ascent, getting to space. It won't be exposed until that service module is jettisoned just before reentry. And during the Artemis 1 mission, the Orion space capsule had a very similar heat shield. And during reentry, they noticed that there was some changes that they didn't quite like to the heat shield. It took a little more destruction than they had planned for, and they're trying to figure out what happened there. So in order to kind of mitigate some of the risks that the Artemis 1 reentry went through, the Artemis 2 will be going straight through the atmosphere, right? Artemis 1 did something called a skip, where it kind of moved up and down through the atmosphere that kind of ablated a lot longer that heat, but it left it in that dynamic environment for a longer time. So NASA said with the Artemis 2 mission, they're just going to go straight down and keep that heat shield from being in that environment for as long as Artemis 1, and hopefully that will mitigate some of those risks. Now, this is a risky part. NASA has done the math. They have done the assessment of it, and they feel confident in the heat shield with this reentry. But this is always a very, very scary part of a mission. And, you know, even Jared Isaacman, the administrator of NASA, said, you know, he will not breathe a sigh of relief until the crew is under chutes, meaning those three parachutes have opened to help drop them and bring them back home. So this is critical, but there is technology to protect the astronauts from this really, really hot and fast environment that they will be going through.
Has this mission been a success so far?
Oh, yeah. So far, this mission has been very successful. They met most of their objectives. I think there is only a very few that they skipped on doing just because they had enough data on what was going on. I think for us in the public, we saw some really incredible images that change our own perspective of where we are in the solar system and the universe, right? We're looking at that Earth set image that came down and seeing images of the moon and then seeing images from this eclipse that was seen from space is really incredible. This is a test flight, first and foremost. And Orion was really put through the test on this one, right? It's a very dynamic environment. It's the first time crew have been on it, the first time they're testing the life support system. And really, this sets up the next missions, the Artemis 3 and beyond missions, Artemis 4 taking humans to the surface of the moon. You know, speaking with media just before preparing for reentry, here's what mission specialist Christina Cook said about how this flight will help future flights.
Both in the vehicle and all in the last 3 years, we've really just worked to make sure that they are set up for success. And that's all of the teams, not just the crew, but the flight control teams, the mission engineering rooms, the launch teams, everyone. We've done our best to bring folks together and to make sure that we can be the best they can be.
She stressed that she hopes people forget about Artemis 2. She knows that there are bigger things to come thanks to this mission's success. The crew described the Artemis program as a relay. They even had a relay baton in the capsule to signify that, you know, they are just the first leg of this long journey. And what they are doing is kind of setting up what more incredible things are to come from Artemis and from NASA.
Okay, so what does this mean for the mission overall, Brendan?
Yeah, so aside from these kind of critical tests of the Orion spacecraft, you know, we learned a lot about the lunar surface and specifically the far side. You know, the crew saw the far side of the moon from a vantage point that no other human beings have ever seen before, something like 4,000 miles away from the surface, giving it the entire perspective of the lunar surface, and took thousands of photos and took observations using their eyes. They were able to see changes in color on the surface of the moon, which indicate different minerals that the moon is made of, and essentially, you know, get a better understanding of our moon. And why that is so important, Sharon, is our moon has been described as a witness plate, right? It has been out in our solar system for so long that things have been slamming into it left and right. You know, in fact, the Artemis astronauts watched impacts happen in real time, you know, a handful of impacts of asteroids and meteors hitting the surface of the moon. That shows us what has gone on in our solar system for the entire time we have been around here. So understanding our moon helps us better understand not only our place in the solar system and the universe, but where we came from. And that data that they collected answers a key part of that question of who we are in the universe. My conversation with Sharon aired Thursday on Engage. The Artemis 2 mission is set to splash down Friday, April 10th at 8:07 p.m. That's it for The Wrap this week. This podcast is produced by Central Florida Public Media with editorial assistance from News Director LaToya Dennis. I'm Brendan Byrne. This is The Wrap.